Radio Prague News.
Former public affairs MP Kristina Kuchi has testified against de facto party leader Vít Bárta in the second day of his corruption trial. An internal audit has found that Prague City Hall loses track of its judicial obligations because there is no oversight of ongoing court cases. And President Václav Klaus has asked the Senate to appoint Zdeněk Koudelka to the Constitutional Court. The trial of former transport minister and head of the junior coalition party public affairs parliamentary group Vít Bárta for corruption continues on Tuesday. Mr. Bárta is suspected of having given cash bribes to at least two former party members, Kristina Kuchi and Jaroslav Škárka. On the second day of the trial, former party member Kristina Kuchi repeated her allegation that Mr. Bárta had given her €500,000 in an envelope in early 2011. She said that their personal relations were strained at the time and that the money was accompanied by a request that she be more loyal and bring the club of party MPs together. She also claimed that all in-party referendums had been rigged. Mr. Bárta admits to giving the two members money but says they were personal loans. The trial opened at a Prague district court on Monday and has been the focus of intense media attention, with many news organizations covering it live. Last year, the scandal around Vít Bárta brought the government to the brink of collapse. An internal audit has found that Prague City Hall loses track of its judicial obligations because there is no oversight of ongoing court cases. The audit was instigated due to several recent situations where city property was nearly seized due to unpaid debts. It found that the records of the city's ongoing court cases do not show their current status or results, nor is there sufficient control over whether court-ordered obligations are fulfilled or who should be responsible for fulfilling them. In January, the city was barred from managing billions of crowns worth of property due to non-payment of a debt of some 200,000 crowns. President Václav Klaus has asked the Senate to appoint Zdeněk Koudelka to the Constitutional Court. Koudelka, who is 42, is a former deputy chairman of the Social Democratic Party and current director of the Kroměříž Law Academy. His successful approval in the Social Democrat-dominated Senate is not a given, however, as he reportedly lacks the support of many within the party. Mr. Koudelka is the president's second nominee to the seat after the upper house rejected Jan Svaček in December on the grounds that he had joined the Communist Party in 1989. Now, turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly clear, with daytime highs of around 5 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, trade unions have called planned layoffs in the public sector, part of the government's planned austerity measures, the path to hell. We'll have details. And Prague comes in the top five on a Daily Telegraph list of the top 20 places for young people to emigrate. And a little later in the program, stay tuned for Czech History, which looks back at the life and work of 19th century Czech explorer Emil Holub. The Czech government is debating continued austerity measures, hoping to save 23 billion crowns in 2012, 42.4 billion in 2013, and a whopping 84.4 billion in 2014. But the plans have been met with opposition from trade unions, who are highlighting that the cuts could lead to as many as 24,000 public sector job losses and include layoffs of as many as 17,000 teachers as well as 3,500 police officers, this within the next 2 years. Jaroslav Zavagil, head of the Czech-Moravian Confederation of Trade Unions, recently called this, quote, a path to hell which will destroy the public sector. Dominik Jun has the story.
Austerity, austerity, and more austerity. Those were the credos of many European governments hit by the effects of the 2008 global economic crisis. But today, many, such as Great Britain, are finding that austerity measures have led to economic stagnation and rising unemployment. The Czech government is presently debating plans to significantly reduce the public sector workforce over the next several years as part of its efforts to balance the budget. Plans include 12 billion crowns in savings by fusing ministries and reducing bureaucratic staff. At a recent conference of his Civic Democratic Party, Prime Minister Petr Nečas signalled that the proposed cuts will be far-reaching. This, however, has raised alarm bells among public sector groups. Martin Fassmann is an economist at the Czech Moravian Confederation of Trade Unions. He echoes the sentiments of his organisation that cuts could devastate a weak economy and thus end up exacerbating the deficit, which, according to EU figures, currently stands at 124.2 billion crowns, and 3.7% of GDP.
The government is planning 23 billion in cuts for this year and then more than 90 billion in cuts over the next few years. Further, this 23 billion is designed to curtail the planned deficit in the state budget that was approved a few months ago. We aren't against cuts per se, but rather we believe that this is the time to begin a debate about economic politics and the government's approach to so-called reforms. It's not just about the fact that the government wants austerity and we don't. That is the wrong way to put it.
The government is preparing reforms both on the revenue and spending sides. This includes controversial, though still not finalized, plans to increase VAT levels on food and medicines, ending existing multiple rates and creating a unified 20% rate, as well as income tax increases and controversial pension reforms. Critics argue that many of these ideas will hit the poorest Czechs most, with increased costs of living and effectively lower pensions, and that the planned cuts will merely exacerbate this. Martin Fassmann again.
At this time, when we are seeing economic stagnation and likely even recession, to undertake relatively large cuts in public finances is entirely counterproductive and even dangerous. One should also add that Czech finances are currently having to deal with three separate deficits. The first is the systemic deficit of the public finances of 105 billion crowns planned for this year, and this already budgets in cuts of 30 billion against the previous year. The second deficit is as a result of the fall in economic growth and represents another 23 billion crowns of expected revenue gone, which Finance Minister Kalousek now wants to cut. And the third deficit is the one that will come about as a result of pension reforms. All we are saying is at this time to try and tackle these three deficits as well as the one created by a government deficit reduction plan designed 2 years ago is simply absurd.
The Czech Moravian Confederation of Trade Unions made this very point in a recent publicity campaign, seeking to warn against the effects of such rapid cuts. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Petr Nečas has been defending his plans, arguing, for example, that many Czech secondary schools have double the capacity than they require, and that greater efficiency is the key to ensuring continued Czech prosperity. But Martin Fassmann remains unconvinced.
Not only will these plans suffocate all hope of economic recovery, but they will also contribute towards Czech decline. The effects of these measures will be a drop in real wages and pensions. This will then lead to a 10% or 12% fall in consumption. Add to that the effect of public spending reductions. What this all means is that the proposals that the government plans will likely reduce GDP output by 4 to 5%. This will then have another knock-on effect. The government's existing deficit reduction figures won't be met, and the deficit we threw out of the door will come flying back in through the window. So what we are saying is that all of this leads to a fall in the quality of lives, not just for pensioners, but for ordinary Czechs too, and all of the sacrifices that they will be making will be for nothing. You simply cannot cut your way to a balanced budget. That was Martin Fassmann, an economist at the Czech Moravian Confederation of Trade Unions, offering his view of the planned government austerity measures, which could highly impact certainly the public sector in terms of layoffs. If you have an opinion, why not let us know what you think here at Radio Prague. You can write to us or easily over the internet. The address is english@radio.cz, or you can write to our street address, Vinohradska 12, 12099. And that story, of course, was by Dominic Yoon. Somewhat more positive news now, definitely more positive news. Britain's Daily Telegraph newspaper has just published a list of the top 20 places for young people to emigrate. And the Czech capital, Prague, came in fourth. Beautiful and only a short flight away from Britain, Prague offers all the stability of Europe while not requiring a new language, and it has the best beer in the world. That's according to the Telegraph, at least. So, is Prague as an expat destination all it's cracked up to be? Rob Cameron has been finding out.
There's an international flavor to this playground in a popular park in Prague's Vinohrady district, and for good reason. Prague is home to thousands of expats from Europe and beyond. Many come because of work. The city is home to a number of major international companies who've outsourced their businesses here. Others, including this reporter, because they came for a while and simply stayed. Among them is Carol Spiller-Lissi from Switzerland, speaking in her native Italian to her daughter Amelie. Carol came to Prague 4 years ago with her Czech-born husband Michal, who's a country manager for a large European chocolate manufacturer. She divides her time between motherhood and freelance management consultancy and says Prague is an ideal place for a family.
It's a beautiful city to live in. Every weekend you can discover something new, some new corners, something really nice to look at. You can have a beautiful life in Prague. It's a small city, but it offers every day something you can do. It's a huge cultural offer. And for kids specifically, it's fantastic. Czechs are really children-oriented, child-friendly. So it's really good.
According to official Czech statistics, Karol is one of 557 Swiss citizens living in the Czech Republic, most of them in Prague. That number is dwarfed by the 15,000 Germans, 3,000 Frenchmen, 5,000 Britons and 6,000 Americans, mostly expat business people, teachers and students. They form mini communities of their own. The streets of Prague, especially affluent districts such as Vinohrady, echo to the sound of foreign languages from around the world. Charles Grant works for a large accounting firm which established its regional headquarters in Prague. We met in a French-run cafe to discuss the findings of the Telegraph survey.
I'm not surprised it's come so high up in the survey. I think the reason the Czech Republic as a whole punches above its weight financially is because it's been so successful attracting companies to come and work here, financial investors come live here, and here you're in the centre of Europe. I mean, Vienna is further east than Prague. So there's a location thing, slightly climate thing, and if you live in this little expat bubble, you do live in a beautiful old town, in a nice flat, 1920s flat with high ceilings, parquet floors, or you live in a lovely commuter village with this ready-made community around you. And so if you live, you put it through that very distinct expat lens, it's a nice lifestyle. So Prague is geared up to accept people with English as a second language.
Although, as Charles went on to explain, that's fine for business, but for personal relationships with the locals, expats tend to hit a wall without some command of Czech. Indeed, it wouldn't be unkind to say that Czechs are not, in general, the friendliest or most open of people when it comes to welcoming foreigners. That certainly takes time and patience and getting used to, as Carol told me.
The biggest downside is the closed mentality. What we can observe in Prague, and it might be very different outside of Prague, but in Prague it is like that. People are closed, are reserved. You go to a shop and you are not surprised. 2 months after you live here, you have learned that you're not surprised if people don't smile at you, either in the shop or in a restaurant. You won't be... You're not the king as a client or as a guest, and you have to get used to it.
More and more foreigners are, it seems, getting used to it, which is one reason why Prague came fourth on the Daily Telegraph's list of top 20 destinations for young expats, after Warsaw, Phnom Penh and Bangkok. There's only one aspect of that survey I would take issue with, the idea that you can live here happily without learning Czech. You can certainly survive with English, hand gestures and a dictionary, but learning the local language adds a whole new dimension to life in Prague.
Okay, Rob Cameron there, and certainly knowing Czech or a little bit of Czech does add a new dimension, so we highly recommend it, and you will take that opportunity to remind you that we have a long-running Czech language program here on Radio Prague, which you'll hear a bit of in a little while, which is called the ABC of Czech. Before we get to that, though, it's time now for news about our new monthly quiz. You can test your knowledge of all things Czech, basically on the first day of the month. Every month, Radio Prague will announce a new quiz question. That's at our website, www.radio.cz. And if you're curious, well, this month's question, the question for March, is about a famous Czech-born film director who lives in the United States and recently turned 80. There's a hint. You'll find more details, though, at our website, radio.cz. We're going to turn to our main feature for this day. This year marks the 110th anniversary of the death of Dr. Emil Holub, perhaps the best-known Czech explorer who made vast contributions to public understanding of Africa, and this was in the later half of the 19th century. Christian Falvey has this week's Czech history.
The story of one of the most famous Czech explorers is a testament to the adage that a person can accomplish anything they set their mind on. Emil Holub was born to a family of no great wealth in the tiny Bohemian town of Holice near Pardubice, the son of a local physician, with no particular prerequisites for exploring the Black Continent except curiosity. Martin Šámal is the creator of the Holub exhibition at Prague's Náprstek Museum.
According to his mother, Holub was taken by a passion for travel when he was only 3 years old, when he saw a picture of a black man in a book. From that time on, she said, his thoughts were on Africa and his future explorations. That, of course, is more of a legend, but we do know that when he was 13, he read the travels of David Livingstone and many others. Travelogues were his favorite type of literature, and I would say that we could reliably date his first thoughts of traveling to the time of his secondary school studies.
Holub's first step towards Africa was through Prague and the College of Medicine at Charles University. Not an unusual option for a person of his interests at the time, says Martin Šámal.
Studying medicine was not as illogical a decision as it seems from today's perspective. Back then, studying medicine was the only way for people who had interests like Holub's, that is, in nature and natural science, to develop them and bring them to a higher level. So it was a pretty logical choice, even if he hadn't been planning to go to Africa. And what's more, he was apparently greatly inspired by David Livingstone, who was not only a missionary but also a doctor. So that may have also been an influence.
Immediately upon completing his studies in the spring of 1872, Emil Holub set about his dream of attaining Africa and came across the problem that would plague his research throughout his life, funding.
He did not originally intend such a long trip, but his first stay in Africa lasted 7 years. He thought he would be staying there for a year or two, and he wasn't even able to finance that. During his college studies, though, he met the important patron, Wojciech Náprstek, who gave him significant financial aid. But even the total sum of about 1,000 guldens that he was able to collect was only enough for the trip to Africa. After reaching Port Elizabeth, he had to start a medical practice very quickly to support himself and his research.
Even after reaching Africa and settling in the diamond mining town of Kimberley, It would be another 8 months before Holub was able to make his way into the African interior, first establishing himself there as a doctor.
From our perspective, his medical practice looks like something he did on the side, but it was really his main activity, because for most of those 7 years he was looking for funds, which eventually allowed him to make 3 trips into the African interior. During that first trip, he made it quite far, all the way to the Zambezi River in southern Central Africa. He was not in unknown or unstudied territory, but in spite of that, he made a major contribution because he described all of the areas he went through very carefully and in great detail from various perspectives of study, and the vast and diverse collection that he brought back attests to that.
His first trip into the interior was only 2 months long, following a company of local hunters up the Vaal River and nearing the spot of today's Johannesburg. He considered this trip and the next in 1873 to be trial runs, in which he only went as far as the northernmost European settlements, but nonetheless he acquired a great amount of fascinating material that he was able to send back to Náprstek in Prague. He collected everything he found of interest, later writing, "Of all my curiosities, of which I brought back 40 cases closely packed, I considered my ethnographical specimens, 400 in number, the most valuable. But in addition to these, I had a great collection of insects, horns, plants, reptiles, skins of quadrupeds and birds, minerals, skeletons, spiders, crustaceans, mollusks, and fossils." Náprstek in Prague organized the first exhibit of Holub's discoveries at the town hall at Old Town Square.
They were mostly Holub's entomological collections, bugs, animal skins, botanical collections, and so on. Thanks to the fact that Náprstek had a very considerable library, he was able to familiarize the Prague public, for example, with literature about Africa, the newest discoveries made in Africa. So the exhibition did not consist only of Holub's collections. It was much broader, and it was much to Náprstek's credit that he was able to promote Holub in this way right from the beginning of his African research.
In spite of the good results they yielded, the first 2 trips into the African interior were still not the kind of exploration that Holub had set his mind to. His third voyage in March of 1875 found him in today's Zimbabwe near the Zambezi River and presented him with real opportunities to make a mark on African exploration. The result was the first ever detailed map of the Victoria Falls region and accounts of the area published in English 4 years later. On this trip, Holub was seeking to become only the second European to reach so far into the African interior after David Livingstone, aiming to follow the Zambezi upstream as far as possible and continue towards Angola. He set out against the good advice of the local leader, who warned him of poor seasonal conditions and malaria. He crossed hundreds of rapids and lost a boat full of valuable collections. Finally, nearly reaching the Barotse floodplain in Zambia, he contracted a deadly form of malaria and was forced to turn back.
His last trip to Africa was from 1883 to 1887. He tried to return again after that. He planned a 3rd trip and wanted to make his dream of traversing the whole of Africa from the south to the north come true, but it never came to be, and he never saw Africa again. Since the end of his 2nd journey to Africa, Holub had more and more frequent health problems. Another problem was getting the financing. He lived in the Vienna Rotunda, one of the pavilions of the World Fair, where he exhibited his collections, and by the way, also had a lot of work to do in maintaining them. He organized large-scale exhibitions that didn't pay off much financially and got him into debt. So I think the main reason he never returned to Africa was a combination of health and financial woes.
Holub spent the rest of his life in Vienna, where he had greater opportunities for funding and was given a space for his collections that he could not have had in Prague. Complications from malaria and other diseases he had contracted in Africa reduced his life to only 54 years.
On the one hand, he had become a traveler and expert of world renown, one of the authorities on African issues. but he lived out his life in relatively undignified conditions, financially destitute. It was only after his death that attention returned to him and he was again appreciated in his original homeland in Bohemia. That's the irony of his fate, that in spite of international fame and recognition, he died almost forgotten in Vienna with serious material concerns.
The Náprstek Museum in Prague will be marking the anniversary of Holub's death in 1902 with a series of lectures focusing on more details of his life and contribution to 19th century science.
Christian Falvey with that edition of Czech History, looking at the life and work of the 19th century explorer Emil Holub. Now, though, we're going to turn to our final portion for today's broadcast, and that is another edition of ABC of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tax.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the ABC of Czech. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by Vladimír Tax.
Dobrý den.
We bring you a brand new series. As in our previous series, we'll continue to explore Czech idioms, but this time focused on nature. The first part of our new series will concentrate on animal idioms, and as you might have guessed from the jingle, farm animals will be first. And today we start with the horse. The Czech word is
kůň.
K-U-N.
Kůň.
As you know, Czech is an inflected language, which means that words change their form according to their function in the sentence. So that's why the word
kůň
will sound very different in all the idioms you'll hear today. The first expression is probably very well known to you, as it is almost the same in English. It is, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Darovanému koni na zuby nehleď.
The literal translation is, don't look a gift horse at the teeth.
Darovanému koni na zuby nehleď.
Our second phrase today comes from the world of horse racing and betting. A horse,
kůň,
can also be someone whom you support, whose abilities you trust and in whose success you believe. But if your hopes turn false, you might say that you backed the wrong horse.
Vsadil jsem na špatného koně.
Literally, I bet on the wrong horse.
Vsadil jsem na špatného koně.
Another idiom we have for you works in a similar way both in Czech and English. It is to be on the high horse.
Být na koni.
It translates as to be on the horse. While the English idiom means to be overbearing and arrogant, in Czech the expression
být na koni
implies being in one's prime, having got the better out of someone, having one up on somebody. Arrogance is only a secondary meaning of that phrase. Another very popular Czech idiom using the word horse is rather bizarre. It suggests to you to leave all your troubles to the horse because it has a bigger head than you.
Nech to koňovi má větší hlavu.
Leave it to the horse, it has a bigger head. So why don't you stop worrying and forget your troubles? They will solve themselves somehow.
Nech to koňovi má větší hlavu.
And that's all for today. If learning Czech has become your hobby,
koníček,
which just like in English means a little horse, please don't forget there will be more animal idioms for you next time. Until then,
nashledanou.
Well, there you go. A horse saying goodbye in Czech. Never thought I would hear that. That takes us to the end of today's show. We are unfortunately out of time. Don't forget, though, you'll find more news, stories, and reports at our website, radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at the station. Thanks for joining us, and take care.